Thus far, the Lord has helped us. You're going to want to be turning in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 7. That's where we're going to be today. I'm going to be sharing some thoughts. And then Stefan and Liesl, both Stefan and Liesl and Dawn will be coming to share some things. So looking forward to hear that as well as we celebrate the fact that thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus far, he has been with us. It's our 10th anniversary as a congregation of the Watford Church of Christ. And this time of reflection, I think, invites us to do two things. One is it invites us to refresh our gratitude for what God has done, what he has done over 10 years. And secondly, it invites us to ask him for the faith that we need for the future. Because it's only thus far, the Lord still has more to be done. Let's read in 1 Samuel 7, and we'll read from verse 1. Reading from the NIV here. So the men of the background of this is the Ark of the Covenant has been taken by the Philistines. They have had trouble with the Ark, and they have said, it's causing us trouble, Israel wanted you have it back. So they've been giving it back, and so now it's coming back to Israel. So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the Ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the Ark of the Lord. And the Ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim a long time, 20 years. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. This was a generational thing because there had been a generation where their hearts had been hard towards God. That's one of the reasons the Ark had been taken by the Philistines. Now there's a big, big change happening in their hearts. So Samuel sees this and he says to the Israelites, if you are returning, so they're returning. So yeah, we return, but words are cheap, aren't they, right? So if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then something you must do, rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Because although the Philistines were giving the Ark back, they were still oppressing the Israelites. So the Israelites did what Samuel asked and told them. They put away their Baals and Ashtoreths, their false idols, and they served the Lord only. So it's a purification of the heart going on here. Then Samuel says, right, next step. Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. I'm going to pray for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, he drew out water and poured it out before the Lord. Probably a purification idea going on here. On that day, they fasted. And there they confess. So this is deep stuff going on inside the heart for all these people. We have sinned against the Lord. They take it corporately and personally. Now, Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah at that time. When the Philistines heard, you see the neighbors, they're troublesome and they don't like what's going on. They don't like this idea that they're returning to the Lord with all their hearts. It could cause trouble for the Philistines. So they hear that Israel has assembled. The rulers of the Philistines come up to attack them. They've left them alone for a while, but now there's going to be an attack. When the Israelites, how are they going to handle it? How are they going to handle it now? When they heard of it, they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because the Philistines were powerful, more powerful than them in military terms. And they beat them in the past. They're afraid because of the Philistines. And they said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us. So what's their response? Their response is, we're in trouble. We're terrified. We're going to be beaten militarily. Why don't you pray more for us? Their response is to ask Samuel to pray, which is interesting. Cry out to the Lord that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb, sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf. He's praying. And the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. We're talking that you can smell them, not only hear them. Right, they are right on your doorstep. They are about to attack. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. You'll notice it was the Lord that did this, right? It wasn't Israel. They pursued, but only after the Lord had basically won the battle already for them. Then Samuel took a stone, and this is the heart of what we're talking about here today. He took a stone. He set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." A stone, Ebenezer, the help of the Lord. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. The Philistines were subdued. They stopped invading. This was kind of the end of their oppression for a generation or so, for a long time. Throughout his lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath, the Philistines captured, were restored to Israel. Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines, so the blessing went out beyond them. There was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And that stone symbolized the fact that the Lord had been with them. The Lord was with them, had been with them, and in fact would be with them. God's people at that point in their history stood at a moment a little bit like ours, where we look back at what God has done and we ask him for his help for the future, for the challenges ahead. Looking back at God's faithfulness so that you and I can look forward to the challenges ahead with faithful confidence, confidence in God. Israel had been through a time of defeat and fear and spiritual drift. That's a representation of what the Ark of the Covenant might have looked like. It had been lost. The Philistines had oppressed the Israelites. Morale was very low. Then God effectively rescues his own Ark, brings it back to Israel, and the Israelites become convinced that once again God is with them. They doubted that. Sometimes you and I doubt that God is with us. Sometimes even as a congregation, it doesn't seem like, is God really with us? It can feel like that. But they believed that God was back with them, and therefore what did they do? They did three simple things, or four things you could say. Ultimately, they returned to God, and what that meant was they gathered to worship. You know, when our hearts are full of God and confidence in him, we love to gather to worship. Whether it's here on a Sunday, or whether it's with our spouse or a friend to pray and sing together, or whatever we want to do, but worship is part of our redevotion of our hearts to God. They gather for worship, they repent, they confess their sin, they take it personally, it's my sin, not blaming somebody else. And they pray, or in this context, they ask Samuel to pray for them. But we, in our context of New Covenant, we would pray ourselves and pray for one another, not ask somebody else just to do that. It would be collective. They gathered for worship and repentance. They faced their enemy with prayer instead of panic. They panicked in the past, but this time they knew the Lord was with them and there was no panic. Fear is part of the Christian life from time to time, even anxiety from time to time. But it need never be that panic is part of the Christian life, because God is with us. And then God answered their prayers and Samuel's prayers, we could say, with power, and he rescued them. He put up this stone. We don't know what it looked like. The Bible doesn't say. Probably like a standing stone, something quite large, probably. But he set it up there and he raised it, something maybe a little bit like that, who knows. But he didn't put the stone up to honor Israel. He did not put the stone up to honor the people. He didn't put the stone up to honor himself. I am Samuel. It's as a result of my prayers that this defeat to the Philistines happened. It's not about him and it's not about the people. He puts up the stone to honor God's faithfulness. It is a God-focused thing, as I hope and pray today is. We celebrate together. We enjoy being together and all that God has done in us. But it really is about God. None of us would be here without him. None of us would have been here for a minute, let alone 10 years, if it was not for him. It is the Lord who has helped us. That's a phrase full of humility. It's not about us, it's about him. We didn't get here alone. Every victory we've had as a congregation is because the Lord has helped us. Every victory. And it's a phrase filled with hope. Because if you believe thus far the Lord has helped us, surely it will be that as we go forward, the Lord will still be with us, helping us. He will help again. It is God who has carried us through the last decade. And it is God who will carry us into the next. Ebenezer's help us to remember the story that God has been writing and will write. So to reflect a little bit on the past, I've asked, some people have volunteered actually, to share some thoughts about the ways in which God has been with them in the last 10 years. And so Dawn and Stefan and Liesl are going to do that now. So we didn't talk about which order we're going to do that in. So Stefan says the Spirit is saying it's Dawn. Okay, first. So and Stefan is a man full of the Spirit. So Dawn, would you like to go first?
Yes, why not?
Okay.
Good morning. For those who don't know, I'm obviously Dawn. We gather that bit. I was here with Watford, having moved from the north as we started 10 years ago. And then I travelled on through and transiently went on to Thames Valley. And I'm still based in Thames Valley, but for reasons I can explain to you individually, I now live on Jersey, which is lovely and 10 degrees warmer for the record. Not that I'm focusing on that or the fact there's a lot of beach. We'll carry on. Thinking about this, you know when God's with you, when I was thinking about this and sharing, when you haven't done it, when you don't feel like you've done it, that's when I know that God's been with me. And when we moved out and we started the Watford group all those years ago, we moved with several children, shall we say. And logically, I knew I had the skills to give to the children. That's the skill God gave me. It's my job and my career. Teaching and being with kids was something that I felt was a gift. I didn't have to necessarily learn to do it. You know, when you find the thing that you enjoy and it happens to dovetail with the thing you can get paid for, you've hit the gold spot. And so as far as I was concerned, this was something I'd been given a gift for. I could learn to do it better, but it was something that I could do. But when you're doing it with Christian children and you're doing it with your own children in the room, your whole life is on display. They know when you go home and you're in the car and you're going, have you tidied your room? Have you done your homework? What do you mean? And they know. They know what you're like. And so as we came together as that small group, we had my children, we had Mulligan, we had Jude at the time, we had a various kind of age ranges and backgrounds and types. And it was kind of, we didn't have enough people who could give to the children to divide them all up. So we put all the preteens and teens together, anyone who could basically form an opinion, which, let's be honest, most preteens and teens will willingly do, and then said, what do you want this to be like? I remember having conversations with my two in the car on the way, going home, going, what do you want this to be? This is yours. This is not about what I want or what Malcolm wants or what anyone else wants. This is what you want. And I remember us talking about this long and hard for over many weeks. It wasn't something that just happened quickly. We took a long time over what this looked like. And actually, they did tell you what they think if you ask of them. It took a few weeks. We ended up with the term mountain movers. We couldn't call it preteens. We couldn't call it teens because we had a variety in there. So we called it mountain movers because we felt like it was about building the faith to move mountains. That was the foundation stones of what we were talking about. And I have to admit, a lot of that time has faded with age-related memory loss. I am of that age where I used to be quite organized. Sarah watched me faff getting out of the house this morning. And I was like, I used to be quite organized. I'd pick up my bag would be packed. Doesn't happen that way anymore. But from what I can remember, and I went through my notes, and I found a welcome that we wrote back in August 2018, where the mountain movers reminded the congregation what they'd been learning about Moses and how God had taken care of him or them before he was able or they were able to take care of himself. So it comes back to the parent and the family unit. They wrote, and I'd taken a picture of the board from the class, and they'd written the things they were grateful for. And they'd written, and I've got no idea who wrote what. I'm looking over this side because they were probably in the room, but I don't know who wrote what, but there was four things that got written. Making sure that they were always safe was something they felt like God had taken care of them with, relating it back to Moses being put in the basket. I'm glad I have kind parents. I'm glad that I was able to take my first breath, and I'm glad that I have a caring family. So that's what they were bringing into the room every week. That was the hearts they had. Fast forward to March 2020, they did a whole welcome. I found the order that they were welcoming and saying more than once on their own, they made their own decisions about what that welcome contained. And the welcome that morning was about making decisions. And they talked about the decision to come to church. They talked about the decision to give in class. And as I was putting this together, I was reminded about 1 Corinthians 3:6, where it says, "What after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Who am I? Only servants through whom you come to believe. As the Lord has assigned to his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow." And actually, someone plants and someone waters, but you can't see that all the time. You can't see those things that you're doing, particularly the watering. The watering you're doing, as we should be, all the time, all the days. The mountain movers, they gave everything to the classes, even when you felt like you weren't having nothing to give. And one of the things that I thought about when I was writing this is we often talk about serving the kids or giving to the kids. I never once went in with that. I always felt given to. Even when they show it in a way you don't expect. Now, when it's a teenager, it can be a sentence. No offence. I work with several hundred every day. Sometimes they walk into form and just them looking you in the eye and saying the morning is them giving. Because normally it's, I'm going to put my bag down, grunt, and I'm going to get on with my day and I'm not happy about being here. And that's how they give. If you don't look for it, though, you don't always see it. And so I feel quite lucky that I do see it and I feel very given to. I'm not sure we should solely have the attitude of giving to them. I think they give to us. And I definitely felt given to in that time. I loved it. Absolutely loved that time. And I miss it. Being honest, older kids are great, though. I don't have to get up in the early hours of the morning. The bank of mum and dad definitely functions. And they are doing their own thing. Bethany is presently in Singapore, for those who don't know. She's over there for 5 months as part of her degree. Leia is an amazing creative being. She's doing her A-levels. She's doing photography. She's doing that drama. And she's doing music tech. She's looking to take a year out. And then she's got her university places coming in at the moment. So she is growing and changing too. And I'm very proud of both of them. But yeah, guys, thank you very much for letting me share. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Normally when I'm standing up here, I'm either a lesson or a class or a sermon or something to preach, but today is different. We woke up this morning and started counting and realized, wow, how time flies. Today, January 26, is 7 years ago that we first walked into the Watford Church and started coming. Seven, can you believe it? Yes, yeah. No. Figures with all the grey hair and everything. This way, not that way. we just want to share really what the church meant for us. And in Romans 12, verse 9 and 10, it says, love must be without hypocrisy. Or in the NIV, it says, love must be sincere. And it says in verse 10, be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. The Christian life is not lived in the words that's spoken from here or in what we hear sitting there in our seats. It's what happens in our relationships and how we live our lives when we leave here. And that really exemplifies the Watford Church for me. And what we experienced. 7 years ago, just a bit of context, I'm not going to give all the details. If you want more details, I know people are curious. Come and talk to me afterwards. But 7 years ago, condensed version, Liesl and myself were in a very difficult place in life. We both became unemployed on the same day, went through a very difficult time spiritually in the congregation we were in, and ended up effectively not being able to pay the rent and becoming homeless and unemployed. And that was the situation we found ourselves in 7 years ago. And I'm going to hand over to Liesl to share a bit further from there.
Thank you. I didn't make any notes for today because I wanted to just speak from my heart. So I may ask Stefan maybe to come in if I forget or so. But so 7 years ago, we were looking up at God and saying, God, what now? Where are we going? What are we going to do? And the first thing I remember, there was a knock on our door and somebody from this congregation, just with an envelope with some money in it and a gift saying, we're thinking of you guys, what you're going through. I think that was the start of the journey for me in a way. It's like, we're not alone in this. We're definitely not alone in this. But I also remember thinking, God, I am hurt. We are hurt spiritually. We're in pain. And I found a scripture in the Message translation that really resonated with me at that point in time. It says, it's Psalm 69, verse 29. And I've quoted this many times to many people over the last 7 years. But it really, really, like David crying out to God, says, God, I am hurt. I'm in pain. Please provide mountain space or mountains and space for healing. And so I started praying about that. God, how can this be applicable in our lives? God opened up the doors that we could spend a month in Spain, just moved out of our house and didn't have a place to stay, but spend a month in Spain cheaper than you can ever thought. I just thought that's God. He worked it out that we found a really cheap place, lovely, walkable to the beach. And so that month of reflection, a month of praying, a month of just saying, God, what now, was really good. It was really helpful. You know, God helped us so much in that time. I must say, honestly, at that point in time, I did not consider coming back to the London Church of Christ, which Watford was seen from. I did not. I thought, I'm going somewhere else. I cannot face many things. But we also met some lovely people in that time that was faithful and loved God and really spent a month with them during that time. So we came back, and I was also grateful that I could go a month and spend time with my mum. God worked it out that I could have a month, because I'm unemployed, I don't know what to do tomorrow, but I had a month with my mum, and she needed it specifically at that time. She was at a crossroads. And I'm so thankful for God that He worked that out, that I could have that a whole month with her. It changed our relationship. It changed so many times, it's many things for me. And if you think about that, when you work, when will you have time to do something like that? You won't. But God prepared it that I could have that time. It was incredibly special. Now, on to coming back to London at that point in time. We drifted from home to home for 8 months, I think we worked out, and it was your generosity. Members of this congregation opened up their homes for us to live with you, with all our quirks and all our difficulties at that point in time, eating some people's ice cream, all of that. but so for 2 months with one family, a month with another family, and 5 months with another family. That is a huge, huge thing for us and a sacrifice for those families, you know, having somebody in your home who's homeless and who's looking for a job. So, but at the end of that, and we're extremely grateful. Thank you for everyone. We don't want to mention names because so many of you have acted in so many kind ways. We cannot list everybody. So after 8 months, God willing, we both had permanent jobs after 8 months.
Contracts.
Oh, sorry. Permanent contracts. It was a 1-year contract, fixed term, 6-month contract at that point in time. And we could move into our own place and start again, start afresh. That was wonderful. That was absolutely wonderful. At that point in time, I still felt, I remember expressing it so many times, I felt so useless in church. I felt like I have nothing to give. I'm just here. But God was alongside me. And I just felt like whatever we could give, God used. And everybody was just so grateful for that as well. So I just want to thank you for that. You were so gracious with us. You know, like when you feel like you have nothing to give and the little bit you give is appreciated so much, you know, you feel you could start to breathe again. Yeah, what was the else that I wanted to say? Yeah, I think, you know, healing is a long journey. In the beginning of this journey, I thought, a few months and I'm back on track, we back on track. But healing is it can take for years. And I still have to guard my heart. One of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. I still have to guard my heart when it comes to that episode in my life. You know, you can, in a moment, you can turn to become bitter again, or you can turn to be, you know, why me, God, and, you know, a pity party and all of that. So I still have to guard my heart when it comes to that. But we're immensely grateful, and also how God is protecting our children through all of that, and how he's made ways for them, which we won't go into now. And also, you know, how he's opening up new doors for us, for a new chapter in our lives. You know, I definitely, like Malcolm said, you know, this is about honoring God. But I want to say, we honor God because of what you've meant to us. You know, the sense of belonging, and still, you're still meaning right to us. The sense of belonging, the sense of having a spiritual home, the sense of being taken care of, the sense of being protected, the sense of just turning up and not having much to give. But whatever you can give, God can work with that. That's that sense that I have constantly now. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you guys, so grateful for the Watford Church. We are immensely blessed as we stand here before you today. It's been a long journey, and we don't know what's lying ahead, right? This may have prepared us for something else, which God is still shaping and working out, you know, for you and for us. So thank you for this time that we could share. Anything else?
So, yes, thank you, Watford Church, for what you mean to us, me personally and to Liesl. And keep on being like that. Keep on being who you are, loving each other, being generous, being kind. So one of the things I appreciate about the church is that it respects every Christian's autonomy and agency to work out their own salvation without being a burden to a Christian and to every member of the church, but rather to be a place of growth, a fertile ground, a field like Paul describes it in Corinthians. I appreciate that about the church. I appreciate the love for each other and the sense of family. And I pray that that sense of family will just keep on growing, and that love will just keep on growing over the next 10 years. Thank Amen. You. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stefan, Liesl, Dawn, thank you. I think you're making us cry, some of us here, but it's a good kind of tears, isn't it? Because it's about something that's meaningful, a meaningful connection. Thank you so much. I could spend a lot of time thanking both of you and you, Dawn, for the way that you've served. Time prevents, but I'm just very conscious of the fact that we have two examples. Thank you for sharing and volunteering to share, but I think all of us have a story or several stories of how God has been working and how God has been working in us, through us, and with one another. It is hard to believe that it is 10 years since we started at Lawrence Haynes School. And you never knew when you turned up on a Sunday whether the heating was working or not. Remember that? Frequently it was not. We were sitting there in our coats and hats and gloves and, right? Yeah. And the setup took forever, but sometimes we were locked out. Sometimes there was a Watford match on, and and we weren't allowed into the grounds for some reason. We had to phone up somebody, and I don't know. I'm really glad we're here now. This is a lot better of an option. And I just want to run through a few quick things, just as a reminder of how blessed we've been over the last 10 years. Now, first, we had some church services before our first official service after we were sent out. But that first official service, Asagi and Oge welcomed everybody and prayed. Charles and Bronwyn shared thoughts about the communion. I preached on Luke 5, 17 to 26. Danny picked the songs that day and led us in our worship. And I don't know if you remember, those of you who were there at the time, but we always had food at the end of the last service in the month, I think it was. So we didn't eat together that day, I don't think, but we did regularly have some meals together, which was great. We had a number of special services over the years. At Joe's allotment is one that we enjoyed several times, going to the allotment, planting, reaping, digging up your potatoes, harvesting your tomatoes and all kinds of things. And some of our South African brethren doing a braai on the allotment there. That was special memories. Craft service, craft-themed service, which several people did. The science service, which Dawn basically helped us with, right? A science service. International services with international food. The Bread of Life church service, where we brought our bread makers and had made bread and had the smell of bread. And we talked about Jesus as the bread of life. I think, Sarah, you brought your bread maker, you had? I think I brought mine. There were two or three that people brought. Our forest service that we had at Aldenham, that was actually a picture of that. We had an outdoor service in the forest. Other outdoor services in Castlereagh Park, for example, during COVID in gardens and things like that. Safeguarding services, carol services and caroling get-togethers, just to sing carols. Mother and father weekends and days. The harvest services, remembrance services, and a lot more. In that time, we've refreshed our leadership team just recently, as we've been talking about earlier. We formed our own charity. That was a lot of work, especially for Bronwyn, I have to say. Financial self-sufficiency. When we started, we were still dependent on the charity of others, and we've achieved that self-sufficiency financially and developed a healthy bank account, which may help us with our search for staff in the future. Very grateful to the congregation and to God with that. And since we moved here, new chairs. Thank you, Garth and Lissy, and a new church board out the front that actually makes sense. And what it says. Engaging with the Watford Food Bank and collections and things like that. Helping some of the Ukrainian refugees, some of the Afghan refugees in the area. Connecting with the YMCA and with New Hope. Many people have arrived and connected with us over the 10 years. Nice to see Clarabelle here, there with us in the very early days and with us, and we loved you. And then Aubrey
Stole you
from us. Oh well, that's okay. He owes us, so we'll get something back in time. And of course, Sergei was up at the same place you studied for a while. A brother from Russia, but some of us may remember, was with us for a little while. Bemi and Janet moved over from Lagos. Ni and Lola, of course. Ify, who's now in Manchester. The Owen clan. Lots of Owens. Great to have you with us. The Millers, more recently. Juliet and David and Antoinette and Amanda and Wilmerins. Yes, 7 years ago. It's hard to believe, but yes, you guys. Hacken and Pat moving up from Harrow, Steve moving up from Harrow, Michael and Remy now in, near Nottingham, near Northampton, moved up from Harrow, Tunde and Ava, Desmond and Esther, Raymond and Sherry, the Hong Kong crew coming over, Victor and Sarah moving over to be with us, Pranav and Jess moving to be with us, Amy, of course, and Chris, keyboard maestro. Bill joining us quite early on, but still with us, and glad you are. Steve and Sharon, we kind of share with Cambridge, but you know, it's nice to have you here as often as you are. And then, of course, Tanya being with us over from Ukraine and staying with Barry and Kate and her children. I may have missed some, and if I have, you can remind me or correct me, but I probably have. There have been so many. We've, of course, been very blessed as You were praying earlier, Becky, to be blessed here and to worship together with our West Watford friends. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for sharing your lives with us. What an enriching spiritual experience it has been. And on every level, we feel very lucky to be here in so many different ways. In the building here, we've been able to host some AIM sessions, Athens Institute of Ministry teaching sessions, with Doug Jacoby and Andy Boachi and others. We've been able to host Christian well-being conferences, teaching days on the Beatitudes, and a conference on what it means to teach well, a number of other events that we've had here. We've had visiting speakers like Doug and Vicky Jacoby, Jennifer Conson, John Slater from the North, Toby Agerback, Daniel Miller, Emma Whitworth, Kerry Mathieu and Christian Xavier, Archie Higgin, Roland Monje from the Philippines, Tim Chevy, Dannett and Ben Dannett, Rob Payne, Sandra and Andy Azilo, Heinrich Kurtz from Thames Valley, Paul Smith from Dublin, Charlie Hines from Dublin, Andy Bawachi, Paul Rowd and Mike Souza, Andrew Agerbeck, Alden Johnson, Harry Patel, Bruce, before you moved here, visited to speak, and CJ. And I've probably missed a lot of others, but over the years, we've been very blessed to have a lot of different people here. And particularly, I'm encouraged that we've had so many young people able to come and preach here and sort of learn how to speak and connect in that way. Simon Palmer was restored to the faith while we were here. I think Simon and Patricia are watching online today, but they were here last week. So fantastic to they were with us in those very early days. Paul and Joanne Milner, some of you will remember from the very early days, Paul, they were baptized here. And Nana, of course, the last picture on the slideshow, David baptized not so long ago. And most recently, Mulligan, of course. And I dare say there will be more in the future. And maybe I've even missed a few out here. But God has been at work. And sometimes you have to stop and look back deliberately to realize how much God has been doing. And I'm only really skimming the surface here by talking about these things. I've not even talked about some of the special teaching and preaching series we've been through and a number of other things. So all of this is, I share just as a reminder, God is at work. He has been at work. He is at work. He is going to be at work in our lives collectively, but our lives personally up in, where is it, Michael, you are? It begins with W, I keep forgetting. Wellingborough, okay. Up in Wellingborough, or in Oxford, or in Reading, or in wherever we are, in here in Watford, God is at work. He's at work. Are we noticing? I think that's kind of the question. Are we aware of what he's up to? So just to wrap up with this section, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper. We're going to go a little bit longer than our normal service today, but it's our anniversary, so... we'll take the Lord's Supper in a minute, but before that, I'd like to offer you something. And so what I have here is heavy. I have some stones. They're white, really, for no other reason that you get a white stone in Revelation, you know, with a new name. It's your new identity. But there's some white stones, and I'd like us all to take one if you want to. And in take it home as your Ebenezer stone. Take it home, put it somewhere where you'll see it. And maybe you might like to have a phrase like this in mind when you take it today or when you look at it in the future. Thank you, Lord, for helping me and helping us thus far. Thank you for helping our church thus far. Help me to trust you for what comes next. You might want to hold it in your hand and pray. You might want to put it somewhere where it's visible. I'd like to encourage us to take one today. And if you are a member of the Watford Church of Christ, please take one. If you're not, take one. Everybody's welcome to have one. There are plenty here. If I run out, I've got more in a bag at the back. So you can take two. If you want to give one to a friend, that's totally fine too. Father, we want to thank you that you are a great God. This is an Ebenezer moment for us. Help us to remember that thus far you have been with us. You've been with us personally. You've been with us as a church. And we trust you that you will be with us in the future. As we take these stones, we pray that they will be an ongoing memorial for us of your grace, of your love, of your strength, of your power, and of your devotion to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to go. Thanks, Chris. I apologize for not washing them in advance. I just went to B&Q and there you go. So they're a little bit dusty, but there you go. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. Ordinarily, we take a bit more time for this, but with the time against us. But I would like to draw a line or a connection between what we're doing here today and the Lord's Supper, because it was a remembrance. That was the whole point of the stone of the Ebenezer, a remembrance of what God has done to give confidence and faith for the future. And in so many ways, the Lord's Supper is the same. It's very similar. It's a remembrance of what God has done in Christ for us to give us strength and faith for the future. That's why he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's a way of helping us as we take bread and wine now, reminding us of what God has done, his love for us, and strengthening our faith for the week ahead. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that you loved us so much that you gave your son. Not something we could have earned or deserved, but given by your grace. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for Jesus himself. And we pray as we take these emblems that represent his body and his blood, that in doing so, our sweet remembrance of what he did will strengthen us to be devoted to him in the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take bread and wine together.